You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Talking with God.
I want to welcome you to the conversation. My name is Adam. I am joining you from the frozen tundra known as South Dakota. If it was in question at all, winter has officially arrived here. This morning when I left my house and walked to my garage, I noticed in a matter of seconds my beard was frozen. I touched my face and my beard was hard. If you are in a warm place and you're listening to this right now, I'm trying not to be jealous of you because jealousy is not a good thing. Yesterday, someone on Facebook, I'm not sure where they were at. They were in the South and they posted, and they weren't trying to be snarky or mean. They were just posting what was honestly on their heart. And they posted, "I am so sick of it constantly being so hot." And I just wanted to, you know, to kind of comment and say, I'm sick of posts like this because I dream of sweating. I dream of heat. I dream of being hot. And that's not going to happen for like 4 more months. And so if that was you that posted that, I still love you. God still loves you. And yet I pray he would change your heart and help you to realize all the reasons you have to praise God. Okay, anyways, I hope this finds you well. In today's episode, I sat down with Nicole Zazowski. She is an author. She's also a counselor, a therapist, and she is someone, this is a wonderful conversation. We talk about pain, and we also talk about loss, different loss we experience in life, and the joy and the blessings of pain and loss. That can be hard to see sometimes, but Nicole, she just shares candidly from her own pain and loss and just shares about what God has done in and through her. I know you are about to be encouraged. If you know someone who's going through pain, you know someone going through loss, share this episode with them. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, I'm here with Nicole, someone that I have looked forward to connecting with on a personal level. We follow each other on social, and Nicole, just in general, I want to say welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. This is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to on my commute. So it's fun to get to talk to you in person.
Well, I apologize for everything that you've had to listen to so far.
No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
So Nicole, even just for myself, give us the high view picture. Even if you want to start where you're originally from, just kind of share who you are, family picture, what you do. Just kind of give us the high level version. Yeah.
So I grew up and born and raised in Seattle, Washington. It's Northwest girl at heart. Did my college years and my graduate school years in the LA area. And then a surprise move where my book From Lost to Found begins is a move across the country. And we live in Connecticut, just outside New York City. And I am a marriage and family therapist. That's my main job. That work mostly includes a private practice in Greenwich, Connecticut. And then about 4 times a year, I am on staff with an organization called the Hideaway Experience, where we do marriage intensives. So I go down to Georgia about 4 times a year and lead these 4-day marriage intensives for 5 couples with a co-therapist. And so that's my marriage and family work. And then I write. I have my first book coming out January 28th called From Lost to Found. That's sort of, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, but it's me discovering for myself everything that I knew to be true as a therapist and wasn't personally living. And that started with the move. And I'm also a wife and mom to 2 sweet boys. One of them is 3 and one of them is 3 weeks old.
Crazy. So the move school-wise, where did you go to school at and where did you meet your hubby?
I did my undergrad work at Pepperdine University. My husband and I go back. That's where we met. And we're like, did we really appreciate it enough?
Yeah.
We thought we liked it, but this is really, really amazing. Are we sure we soaked it all in? So yes, I met him my freshman year. We did a study abroad program because actually most sophomores at Pepperdine go abroad their entire sophomore year. So there's very few sophomores on campus. So we were in the same program in Heidelberg, Germany, living with 48 other Pepperdine students in one house. And that's a story for another podcast. Yeah. Adam, we need a full hour just for that story. We did not date that year, but junior year, after being best friends while we were abroad, started dating. And he continued and did his graduate work at Pepperdine as well. I then went to Fuller Seminary, where I got my master's in marriage and family therapy.
And what does he do too, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. So he, totally different job. We look at each other and think, wow, we do really different things. He works for Disney and ESPN, which is actually what brought us out here.
Can I ask what specific even his degree is?
Yeah, it's in business. He has his MBA and he is on the business side of Disney. So not in front of the camera or anything like that.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, that's crazy. The only other person that I think I've interviewed or talked with, actually, I think he interviewed me. I need to have him on the podcast, is Jason Romano.
He used
to be one of the producers with ESPN for quite a while. And
awesome.
That's what I kind of was like, I wonder why you guys are in Connecticut, and like, especially when you started sharing where you're at even location. Yes. So I was kind of fascinated by that. Hop into the book because there's some other things, but I think we're going to kind of get into the book. So book is From Lost to Found. Share about how that came about, even practically speaking, if you'd want to even share, were you writing it all before then?
And sure.
What even led to the actual ability to write a book that you, like you did?
That's a great question. Like I mentioned, life in California was very comfortable for me. And what I mean by that is I had a strong faith in God, but it was very supported by all these other things that made me feel valuable and safe. And so I thought that I was Christ dependent. And I thought that I was living in that emotional freedom, finding peace and joy outside of circumstance that I was so passionate about helping my clients find, until the rug got pulled out from underneath me. And what I learned very quickly is when you're knocked off your feet, you're brought to your knees. It started with the move. It was a move that was not a welcome move for me. And yet, Adam, I had this sense that even though we were moving for Jimmy's job, I had this sense that he wanted to go and I needed to go. I can't explain it any other way than just this feeling of calling out of comfort. And when God calls us out of comfort, I truly believe he calls us into himself. And that's exactly what happened for me. Unfortunately, the move was just the beginning of a season that could largely be characterized by change and loss. We've endured 5 miscarriages in the last 4 years. And in the midst of that, received a diagnosis that makes that more likely that I'll lose the baby than not. And so just... Yeah, it's been quite a season in terms of my personal, but I used to think God's rescue looked, you know, calm and close and like a rescue from unwanted circumstances, like he would just take me out of something that was uncomfortable or painful, and that his rescue always looked like that. But I'm now realizing that his rescue looks like prying our fingers off of what we think we want so that we can receive what we really need in the person and presence of Jesus. And that's what my story has been. So to answer your question about the book, I never thought that I would write a book. I was very happy to be a counselor and to have my counseling practice. I assumed my writing would look more academic in nature. I've written a few books with my mentor that are more academic and research oriented. Yep. So I assumed that would be the extent of my writing. And I started processing with all my empty time, just the inner workings of my heart that I could sense God was moving. And then I started talking about it and realizing that not everybody's story is going to look like mine. You know, not everybody's version of suffering is infertility and miscarriage, along with the other changes and losses we've endured. But this is a human experience. Not one of us doesn't know what it's like to go through pain and have our hands emptied of the things that made us feel valuable and safe, that promised a lot more than they could deliver. And I really think what I've learned is that that empty-handedness is so uncomfortable and painful, but empty hands are open. And they're open to receiving an enduring hope and a peace and joy that actually lasts. So that is how the book started to take shape.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you just sharing even that part of things. Nick and Nicole, feel free to share as vulnerably as you want to. Can you tell us kind of one of your lowest moments? Like, yeah. if you had a specific low moment and what you feel like you learned through that, was there an aspect of God that you feel like you learned, maybe not right in that moment, but kind of looking back at that, that you'd be willing to share?
Absolutely. I think two come to mind. It's funny that we're talking this week, because this exact week last year, I would say is one of the worst weeks of my life. We had just gotten really bad news from our fertility doctor and, you know, experienced another loss. And I was traveling for work. I was doing a conference elsewhere. And so I very much had to be on, but knew I was going to be getting this call, and the news was bad. And at the same time, I was carrying some heavy burdens in my counseling practice, and I was away from Jimmy, so we couldn't even process this news and grieve together. And I just remember feeling like I was at the very bottom. And I reached out to my mentor. I gave him a call. Thank goodness he answered. And it was the week following the lighting of the hope candle, so for Advent. And he mostly listened and prayed with me, but he said something that just really stayed with me. He said he was talking with his wife, who's also one of my mentors, about the lighting of the candle and how hope only gets deployed in times of struggle. And man, I thought, I am not thankful for these circumstances, but goodness, am I thankful to be a woman who knows hope and how Jesus and, you know, his coming, his presence, and then his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, the reason he came, you know, his statement illuminated for me that with Jesus, you know, things like loneliness can pave the road to intimacy. Things like weakness become an avenue of God's strength. And grief does make a way for hope. I think of the Beatitudes and how there's all these, you know, what we would think of as quote unquote negative experiences, but Jesus calls us blessed. And I've really learned, and I'm still learning, this journey is, I'm by no means all fixed up and fine, but
yeah.
I used to think that a blessed person was someone who achieved their goal or realized their dream or, you know, life looked the way they wanted it to. But I really believe now that a blessed person is someone who's been awakened to his or her hunger for Christ, and is now ready to be filled with him alone. That's the hope that doesn't disappoint. Another circumstance that comes to mind is I was sort of around the same time of year, probably the year before, just praying, you know, my hope is in you. My hope is in you over and over again, you know, just reminding myself that my hope is in God. But I stopped and I felt really convicted because I wondered how would I finish that sentence? And it was very quick. My answer, it, you know, my hope is in you for a baby. And while that was true, and that is true, I felt unsatisfied and convicted in that answer, because while that was true, that held all my hope. And I realized that my hope was in the gift and not the giver. I was sort of treating God like a power source to my own plans. Like, yeah, he can make this happen for me. And yes, I know that he's going to be the one to do it, but my actual hope is in getting what I want. And I still struggle with that. Even the book has illuminated moments of that for me. And praying doesn't always change our circumstances. We don't always get a different answer. Yes. Sometimes we do. But we always receive the person and presence of Jesus. And that understanding that our hope is in the giver and not the gift, is a reminder that I like to hang on to, especially this time of year when longings are so top of mind for all of us. And, you know, I think the holidays sort of highlights that yearning and that longing, or highlights the things that we wish were different. And just reminding ourselves that we receive a Savior on Christmas, and a Savior whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is the thrill of hope that we sing about in O Holy Night. So that was a long answer to your question. But
no, that was beautiful. That was beautiful and awesome. Like, even just how you explained your version of what it looks like to be blessed as the person who's emptied of everything so they can be filled with God. For me, my kind of rock bottom moment so far in life, it looks completely different than yours, but mine was two summers ago. And just a season of, I didn't know I could experience pain like I felt. And like, just so, I didn't know I could feel brokenness like I felt.
Wow.
And it's so crazy. Last night, my oldest son and I had a moment of just kind of seeing God's faithfulness and his goodness so clearly that we started laughing, like, with joy. Like, it was just, aww, like, I'm like, is this not crazy, Hudson? And he's like, amazing. Like, and we were both laughing, and we ended up, he's just got a sweet heart for the Lord and worship. He's a seventh grader, but we just ended up singing and worshiping and all the way home in our car.
Love that.
You know, 2 years ago, what if you would have ever said that I would ever have any source of joy from this, I would have said, you didn't hear what I just told you. Like, and so, and to really be at that place of not being able to say that I'm thankful for it, but I can see so much good.
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad. I'm getting to the place where I can say I'm glad that I walked through that. It's so bizarre, like, just like the sweetness of it. And I think it was God's way of emptying me of everything. And he wasn't the power source to my 5-year plan. He was my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my fine pearl that's worth selling everything to buy.
Yes.
And so, like, I think that's such a powerful thing. And even now, like, I think when I'm able to walk through trials with people, I don't say this in the moment because it wouldn't be very comforting for someone going through the worst. Like, but you're going to thank God for this, like, later. And again, it's, you would never say this in the moment, but like,
no. Actually,
I think God's actually refining a part of you that needed to be refined. And it's easier to see that in somebody else than it is yourself, but there's something so, so beautiful about that. So thank you for sharing that part.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries, which is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truth of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of different ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the Conversation podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. First 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through scripture, worship, and prayer. You can sign up for First 15 email devotional at first15.org/subscribe or start your day off with First 15 devotional podcast anywhere that you listen.
One of the things that you address in your book, and you even or even mentioned it, like I think there's this idea that God's going to save us from trials and hardships. And even if we'd never believe it, like on a theology level, I would never say that. And yet I think there's a secret part of me that's like, but I actually think it's true.
Yeah.
If I follow Jesus, things are going to be great, and I'm never going to get to have a miscarriage. I'm never going to get a cancer diagnosis. I'm never going to walk through this. And yet that's not always the case. Do you want to talk about just kind of the difference of being saved from things rather than rest, like God's way of rescue? Do you want to kind of jump into that a little bit?
Yeah, I think as you're talking, it highlights for me one of my primary struggles that really filters into my faith, because I think we play out with God what we tend to play out with other people. And for me, one of my biggest struggles has been performance and believing that if I can just win people over and be good enough, that I can keep myself safe and I can feel significant. I get to feel good about myself and I get to be secure. And so
really quick, I feel like this is a counseling session because you just like you just explained my soul. So continue on and help me. Yeah. You just like read my soul.
Not alone.
I feel like you're talking about me. keep going. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Like I said, I'm glad I'm not alone. But essentially, we all have these feelings that are kind of they're shaped by our story. So when we feel pain, we tend to feel the same two or three feelings most of the time. And for me, this deep sense of inadequacy, or when it's really bad, worthlessness and a fear of rejection, was sort of a driver in this performance for me. And so, you know, when I started confronting things that I couldn't change, like our diagnosis around fertility, or, you know, I couldn't do anything about the loss of the babies I so badly wanted to meet, I started playing that out with God. Like, if I'm just good enough, if I show him that I'm handling my grief with grace and maturity, which didn't look like grace and maturity at all. It was a total show and performance. Not only did that keep me from the comfort that he longed to give me, because I wouldn't take the feelings I really had to him. But of course, and I knew this, like you said, I would have never articulated that was my theology. But in our pain, that pain is tenacious, and we try and protect ourselves in any way we know how. And for me, that just so happens to look like a lot of perfectionism and a lot of performance to try and control my circumstances. And so, you know, I thought his rescue would look like, you know, if I'm good enough, he'll take the pain away. But what I learned, I do not believe he is the author of our suffering, but he did take a story that I would have never written for myself and used it to pry my fingers off what was going to ultimately destroy me. And for me, that was that performance and control and my own goodness. He graciously used this painful circumstance that I didn't want and he didn't cause to, you know, pry my fingers off of things that were really meant to be holding on to him instead. And that is the essence of From Lost to Found, is, you know, I use my story to talk about these themes from a psychology and theology perspective, but I'm also, it's written in a way where the reader can process their own story and their own version of this, because to be human is to know what this is like. And my hope is that readers will experience freedom as they recognize the ways that their hands have been pried off things that have promised more than they've delivered and just aren't working for them anymore.
No, that's awesome. And thank you for sharing that part of things. So yeah. I got a copy of your book. I have not read it myself yet, but here's something kind of cool. So my assistant, she's the one who got the mail, and she actually took it home and read it.
Oh,
loved it.
Oh, and, I'm so glad.
And so, like, just to encourage you, and as a person that she would freely share this, has had loss in her life. Mm. And it's something that I know deeply ministered to her. And you kind of talking about your season, for me, again, a couple of years ago, God pulled out the people pleaser in me. Mm-hmm. And it's still something I need to like bring to the cross daily in the most I'm kicking and screaming mm-hmm. brings me there. And because I think my whole life has been built around making everyone happy. So when you lose the ability to do that, it's such a painful thing. And yet, I think God was just like, hey, Adam, I didn't cause this, but gosh, I'm going to use this mm-hmm. because nothing else has worked. Like nothing else has taken this out of you. And something else that a totally different situation that was a breakthrough a few years back for me, of even kind of the performance end of things, of like, if I do this, God will do that. My dad's had this horrible pain for a decade now. Like it's totally altered his life in the
world.
It's horrible.
Wow.
But for years, like I would pray and kind of do everything that I'm like, this is gonna equal my dad being healed. Mm. And was actually it was one of Mark Batterson's books that I read, and about prayer. And finally, I can remember where I was at and everything. I was up visiting my in-laws in Fargo. I was driving, and I finally said exactly what I wanted to say to God. I said, instead of like, would you heal my dad? Like, would you do this? Like all these beautiful, pretty prayers.
Yes.
I said, I want you to heal my dad, and I don't know why you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mm-hmm. I actually wanted to say. And
yeah.
you have the ability. And my dad is one of the most godly people ever.
Yeah.
In all this pain and just sobbing. And it's like God's been like, I really felt God just like, Adam, I've been seeing this in you for so long, and I've wanted you to bring that to me.
Mm.
And instead of like this show and performance that was so fake, like I'm like, that's not how I feel at all. I'm praying pretty prayers and I'm angry. Like, and like I just feel like even with God, you said it so perfect. Even with God, we do this portrayal of things that's just such. It's just all like a show and a front that we put on, instead of like, this is where I'm actually at. This is what I'm really, really feeling. Nicole, so I'm going to shift gears. What I wanted to ask was, for the person walking through a trial, through a hardship, through that rock bottom moment, even specifically right now at the church I pastor, there's so many women struggling with infertility and miscarriages.
Yeah.
Just,
I hate that.
Just horrible right now. What would be your word to that person, whether it's infertility for a gal or it's something else for a guy?
Goodness. I mean, I think if I was with them, just that what I would want to communicate was just that you're not alone, and just sit with them. I think so often we try and pull each other out of that mud pit, because we don't like to see loved ones in that position of pain. Like you said, I wouldn't say this to somebody in that mud pit, in the moment who was suffering, but I do think every season, I think about Ecclesiastes 3, where it talks about all those seasons. There's a season to reap and a season to sow. And we could kind of make them a ledger where there's, you know, a positive side and then a season that we don't so much prefer. And I used to think, you know, okay, just wait through the seasons you don't prefer, and then the good season's coming, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the things I've learned, and I write about this in the book, is all seasons come with opportunities to know God more fully. And therefore, every season carries an invitation to worship. And the good life is not a life without challenge, but is truly a life of growth and intimacy with Christ. And I think what we receive in those moments, going back to the hope candle, and that hope doesn't get deployed, it gets deployed in times of suffering, is, you know, to be able to know God more fully, to know more of Him, to receive more of Him. That's the prize. And again, I'm not in a place where I would say I'm thankful for it. I don't think God asks us to say that. And that's what I would tell these women, like, be honest about your pain. I have a reflecting what you just said in terms of that prayer that wasn't pretty in the car driving. I actually wrote those prayers in the back of a chapter in the book, and they're ugly. It was one thing to think them, another thing to say them, and another thing to put them in print. But I really felt like I needed to, because I felt like there was probably another woman out there that just worries about what will happen if she actually says out loud what she feels. And same for men going through whatever it is that their struggle might be, or, you know, any kind of struggle, is being honest. Actually, that broken place breaks us open for God's transforming light to come in. And he so wants to meet us there. He knows already. But being able to be in a place where we can allow God's transformative grace to come in and know that every season is an opportunity to know more of Him. You know, on the far end of pain we don't prefer is transformation we would not trade. And like you said earlier, that's not what I would tell somebody in the thick of it. But, you know, down the road, I truly believe that that's true. And this is the story that I wrote in my acknowledgments of From Lost to Found. You know, this is the story that threw me back into God's arms. And my prayer is, help me want you more than I want anything else in this life. I don't like praying that prayer. Because it feels like, oh, but I really do want that thing. And I hope he knows that. But this is a story that threw me back into his arms in a way that I'm not sure I would have met him before, or not sure I would have met him otherwise. So again, a long answer to your question, but sitting in the mud pit, you know, just honesty and knowing that God wants to hear the feelings that you have and enter the feelings you have, and you don't need to have the perfect feelings for God.
Nicole, this is so grateful. I feel like we could talk forever. Literally, I think I got to like a third of the questions. Again, the book is From Lost to Found. Nicole, yes. Thanks for even just being the light that you've been to me online. Where can people find you social media wise?
Absolutely. So my website is a good place to connect with me. Awesome. And there's all sorts of pre-order goodies and information there. And that's just my name, Nicole Zasowski. My last name is Zasowski. NicoleZasowski.com. And then Instagram is just at Nicole Zasowski.
Awesome. Nicole, thank you so much. Go get this book, purchase it for yourself, purchase it for a friend, a group of friends to go through. Even my assistant mentioned, she's like, it's set up perfectly for a book club. So go.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. So she's like, this is perfect. There's questions that are built in for you. So maybe it's a book that you grab a group of girlfriends, group of just mixed couples, guys even as well, and just go through it. So Nicole, thank you so much for today.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.